If I say I'm a humble person, does that indicate that I'm a vain, egotistical, self-centered person? If you are a Christian, the answer to my question should be yes. In fact, we can test our very Christianity based on humility. Humility is a growth characteristic for Christians. And it is an attitude we must take, I think, close attention to this, because the examples I'll be giving you highlight this. Humility is an attitude we must choose on our own, of course, to make that initial step, but also with the help of God to really complete the path. But it's something we have to choose to embark on and to enhance and to grow in. I've got three examples that I feel convey the concept of humility, and you might be surprised because I'm going to use these examples twice. Three examples twice. So let's begin with Moses in Numbers 12, verse 3. And we see the setting here in Numbers 12, verse 3, when Miriam and Aaron decided that they were in the same status before God as Moses was. They thought, well, hasn't God also? Miriam had her song and led the women in example in Exodus after they were departing from Egypt. Of course, Aaron administering the priestly duties. So they decided, well, this Moses is, he's got some problems mentioned in the Word of God. In Numbers 12, verse 3, now this man Moses was very humble, more than all men who were on the face of the earth, the nation of Israel, when God was at a point where he would have destroyed them and built a new nation through Moses. A second example is Paul, the apostle. I'd like to go to 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 9. And we have a lot of what Paul had to say and via the letters that he wrote, powerful letters, letters of instruction to this day that guide the Church of God. But let's look at what he's saying of himself, his self-deprecation here. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 9, for I am the least of the apostles, who am not worthy to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the Church of God. He understood his background. He understood intimately, and he never lost sight of what he had done. Yet he also understood God's forgiving grace. And we'll come to that in a little bit in the second run-through on these examples I'm giving you right now. A third example, and of course you knew I would get here, or go here, Jesus Christ, an example of humility. And I'd like to use just one thing that he said of himself, because I think it adds to that original question, or one of those original questions I gave you to begin with about sounding vain. If we actually say, well, yes, humility is something I seek to fulfill and to exercise in my life and to have that as a character trait. Matthew 11, verses 28 through 30. Matthew 11, verse 28, I'll begin to read. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. It's not something we might hear in the political realm. I'm going to make America great again. America, huh? Right? No, it's a much more sincere, open-hearted statement that Christ is making here. Continuing in verse 29, take my yoke upon you and learn from me. This is an instruction for us who follow Jesus Christ. He says of himself, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Not the words of a bodacious, self-important, proud person, but rather of one who is sincerely interested in the welfare of others. A humble approach to how to follow Jesus Christ. Okay, that's trip one. Trip two. Let's go back to Moses, and this time let's go to Deuteronomy 34 and read verses 10 through 12 and see what is said of Moses and about him as at the very end of his life after he has died. In Deuteronomy 34, verses 10 through 12, here's this humble man being talked about, this meekest of all men. In verse 10, but since then there has not arisen in Israel, and this is kind of a eulogy for Moses here, a prophet like Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face, in all the signs and wonders which the Lord sent him to do in the land of Egypt before Pharaoh, before all of his servants, and in all his land. And by all of the mighty power and all the great terror which Moses performed in the sight of Israel. A humble man doing these mighty and powerful things. Then to Paul, 2 Corinthians 11, we find some statements from Paul who said, initially said, I don't even deserve to be an apostle, to be called an apostle. However, he is who God chose to fulfill that office. Now we read, as Paul is running into some internal disagreements, people are rebelling within the church, in 2 Corinthians 11 and verse 5, he says, credentialing himself in a sense, for I consider that I am not at all inferior to the most eminent apostles. And yet, a man of great humility saying this, I want to pick up a little bit more since we're in 2 Corinthians. Let's go to chapter 12, verses 11 through 13. I think it adds a little fuller dimension as I go through this. 2 Corinthians 12, verse 11, I have become a fool in boasting. You have compelled me, for I ought to have been commended by you, for in nothing was I behind the most eminent apostles, though I am nothing, he adds. He understood his role. Truly, the signs of an apostle were accomplished among you with all perseverance in signs and wonders and mighty deeds. For what is it in which you were inferior to other churches, except that I myself was not burdensome to you? Forgive me this wrong. I didn't come down on you as hard as maybe I should have, he's saying, or you thought maybe I should have. He's being a little facetious, I understand, in the writing. And then, Matthew 12, verse 6, we go again to the third example, which is Jesus Christ. Matthew 12 and verse 6, we'll begin to read in verse, I'm cutting in here, but in the discussion that Jesus is having with the Pharisees, he makes an interesting statement about himself, this same one who said, my way is of living is gentle and easy. In verse 5, or have you not read in the law that on this... I think I jumped ahead. Let me pick it up in verse 6. Well, verse 5, I'll follow my mistake here and complete the thought. Or have you not read in the law that on the Sabbath the priest in the temple profane the Sabbath and are blameless? In other words, they can do a priest's work. Then in verse 6, yet I say to you that in this place there is one greater than the temple. He's speaking of himself. Luke 11 gives us just a little more of an example of how Jesus presented himself. Luke 11 and verse 31. In verse 31, the queen of the south will rise up in the judgment with the men of this generation and condemn them, for she came from the ends of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon, and indeed a greater than Solomon is here. And in the next verse 32, the men of Nineveh will rise up in the judgment with this generation and condemn it, for they repented at the preaching of Jonah, and indeed a greater than Jonah is here. Are these examples contradictory? Is it actually possible to be humble and achieve what God has set before us? Absolutely. And in fact, we are commanded. And a key understanding is how what God is looking for regarding the people who follow Him, who obey Him. I'm going to cut into the second verse of Isaiah 66 and quote that. Isaiah 66 and verse 2. This is God's evaluation. This is what He says of those people who would come before Him. But on this one will I look, on him who is poor and of a contrite spirit, and who trembles at my word. So if God's going to look on that kind of individual, shouldn't we also be that kind of individual in our own lives? I mentioned that we could test ourselves. We could test our Christianity by basing it on humility. And the test is written out for us. Matthew 5, verses 3 through 12. I won't read all of these verses, but let me just pick up a little bit out of them, because this is what is classically called the Beatitudes. And I'm going to use the word blessed as a verb instead of an adjective, so I'll say blessed instead of blessed. But Matthew 5, let's read verse 5. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. They are the ones who will be in God's kingdom. And it's not going to be an easy road, brethren, to follow. It's going to be difficult to be humble in this world, truly, in the way that pleases God. Verses 11 and 12, blessed are you when they revile and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. Say, you're not a Christian. What you're doing, being obedient to God, humbling yourself before God to keep His laws and to serve Him. Verse 12, rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Our actions, our activities are reserved and kept account of, and we will also, of course, give account and are giving account of our actions right now. We're standing before the judgment seat of God in all that we're doing, but we're not doing it in vain. We're doing it with the idea that what God has promised, He will fulfill, and He will send His Son back to this earth to establish the kingdom of God here, so that His will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Philippians 2, verse 8, a final scripture. Again, an example of Jesus Christ. And this has to do with this choice that we individually must make, brethren, as Christians. And there are many things. Of course, this is a sermonette, not a sermon, so I'm only going through a few things at this point, but to maybe get you thinking about it, because after all, we are headed to that time of year when we not only outwardly but deeply and emotionally commit ourselves to God in an act of humility. We fast for 24 hours. We go without food and water. We humble ourselves before God. And all of the examples in the Bible show that when a nation really turns to God, or a people, individuals, generally, the record is that they did those kinds of things, to repent to fast, to come before God in absolute humility, at God's full mercy, knowing that He will extend it. Philippians 2 and verse 8. And being found in appearance as a man, speaking of Jesus Christ, He humbled Himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. He humbled Himself. He made a conscious decision to obey God in every respect, in every way, so that He could be our righteous Savior. I leave you with a question. I began with a question. In the context of what we just read about Jesus Christ, how humble are you willing to be?